So, Rodney, you were telling us about the things that were going on in Boston and the murders with the FBI agents before the break. Could you continue on that line, please?
Surely. Now, as I mentioned to you, about the time that Congress was holding hearings on the murders by the FBI agents in Boston, I had learned about murders being perpetrated by a FBI supervisory agent out of the New York office. And the information I got on that, now this FBI agent in New York, he was secretly working with a Colombo mafia capo by the name of Gregory Scarpa Sr. Well, I had a book contract with Gregory Scarpa Jr., the son of the mob figure. That was in 2002. So he's, while he's in prison at Florence, Colorado, he's giving me all of this information about the murders and things like that. And at the same time, I've been getting information from a former FBI agent who worked under this renegade FBI agent. So I had all this information, so I sent letters to every members of the congressional committee that was investigating the murder, conducting hearings on the murders perpetrated in Boston. I told them I had, first, I was a former government agent. Number two, that I had two sources, a former mafia individual and a former FBI individual that had inside information on murders perpetrated by an agent in New York. Well, not a single one of those people responded. Not a one. So anyhow, 4 years later, a Brooklyn district attorney filed murder charges against this FBI agent. 4 years, and using information that I had 4 years earlier. And anyhow, that I describe that in still another book. That's a book on the FBI, and that book is listed on my internet site. But anyhow, that gives you a little idea of how the FBI and the Department of Justice covers up for crimes against the American people. That's only one of countless situations that I've uncovered and write about.
Let me ask you this about the drug running. Let's get back to that issue.
Yes. Okay.
You said that the drug running was heaviest, of course, during the 80s when George Bush, Vice President George Bush, the father, who was previously the head of the CIA, he was involved in honest criminalities for a long, long time. And this drug running were going on through Mena, Arkansas, when President Clinton was the governor at the time. And, folks, Clinton was totally into these drug running, folks, totally involved. He actually, I got other people I know who, like Ted Gunderson, interviewed others, that the governor Clinton used to go and actually pick up some of the drugs himself with his, you know, entourage, with his, state highway people protecting him and going there. And so, but he said that it peaked in the 80s. What happened in the 90s and 1990s, and how about now in the 21st century? How much of that drug running is going on, and how about all these revelations that's been going on about CIA drug importing? Have they minimized it? Have they become more maybe quiet or circumspect about it, maybe more low-key, not so in your face as they were back in those decades? What's going on with drug running in the last, 17, 18 years since 1990, would you say, Rodney?
Well, let me say the drugs started long before the 1980s, but during the 1980s, I had more people coming to me who flew the drugs. And matter of fact, they were saying that during the Contra days, Iran Contra days, where they were flying military equipment down to the Contras. I found out they were sending the military equipment to both sides, both the Contras and the other side. And I asked them, well, this doesn't make sense. as they said, well, how do you keep this war going unless you you arm both sides? Oh, that makes sense. So anyhow,
So hold on, Rodney. So what you're exposing is the fact that whoever was doing all this, they had an agenda to arm both sides of the war. In other words, there is a criminal element at the highest levels of U.S. government which ran and controlled the CIA that wanted the war in Central America, in El Salvador, to go on because they wanted the war. Whatever reasons they had, whether it was war profiteering or others that they had, they wanted the war to go on. That's why they used all this money to fund both sides. Is that correct, Rodney?
Yes. Why it was done, of course, we don't know that. We can speculate. But anyhow, that definitely did occur. But so now after that period and when NAFTA came in, then my sources indicate that there were other means used to smuggle the drugs. And let's say two of my sources were people with U.S. Customs on the Mexican-California border. And they were telling me about how the drugs were coming in railway cars from Mexico, and that this customs management blocked them from making inspections of the railroad cars coming in. Now, one of the both of these sources quit the customs out of disgust about it. And one of them had a website called customscorruption.com, and that the agent there was a fellow by the name of Carmen. Well, now about 5 months ago, the U.S. attorney in San Diego, they used a deported Mexican to come up with false charges against this former customs guy. And so they arrested him. They denied him bail. So he's been in a pokey in San Diego for the last 5 or 6 months. And they held a trial, and they denied him witnesses and what and things like that. And again, a naive jury found him guilty. Now, this is how we how the American public doesn't hear about these things. There's various ways to take care of whistleblowers. And with Carmen, he's just one of many that paid the price. So anyhow, here's a guy in his 60s and not in the best of health, and this is the way the Department of Justice keeps the information from the public. And
well, right now, I'm at his website. That's customscorruption.com at the website of John Carmen. I see his picture on there also. So he got recently convicted by this set-up railroad job. Do you know what's going on with his appeal of his case? Because he's in Southern California, not too far from Freedom Law School. We might be able to offer him some assistance. Is that any way possible? We can get in touch with him, get some good counsel.
First of all, they denied him bail during this entire period, which is unheard of. I mean, you can commit murders and get bail, but no, they didn't. They didn't want him to have access to the media or anyone. And of course, he doesn't have any money now. So,
what's the charges they brought against him exactly?
Pardon me?
What were the charges they brought against them?
What were the charges?
Yes.
Well, that gets a little complex. He was a private investigator, and this Mexican that they had deported hired him to do a little investigation of someone suspected of smuggling drugs. It gets a little complicated for the program here, but let me say he was set up
Well, just after the program, Ronnie, I'll give you a call, and we'll talk about his situation. Maybe Freedom Law School may be able to offer him some assistance and you know, get him out of this. Although with the corruption of the courts, you know, we don't know how that's going to work out. But folks, another part of this whole thing is that you got to understand, everybody, is that the judge who sat on the trial of Mr. Carman, he denied bail to this man. He said, no bail for you. Why? Now, you see, folks, people in America think that we have an independent third branch of government, the judiciary. But, folks, that judge obviously was not acting independently. You know, behind the scenes, somehow, someone was talking to him, telling him, look, man, you can't let this guy out. You just can't. You got to keep him a pokey, deny him, you know, access to good counsel, deny him, you know, have an opportunity to really defend himself. And, folks, another thing is that when these perjured charges, and then there's lying testimonies brought against people like John Carman, folks, the judges often can see what's going on and don't do anything about it. Could you elaborate on that situation? Do you know what happened in this trial of John Carman, for example, with lying witnesses and so forth, you know, how the judges cover up with the government, Rodney?
I don't have all the details on that, but since we're on judges, let me mention this. From my very first book, almost all 15 of them, I go into the corruption in the courts. Now, let me give you a matter of fact, I have one book called Lawyers and Judges, American Trojan Horses. But all of the books go into this. Even U.S. District Judge Michael McCasey, remember that name? He has just become the U.S. Attorney General to replace Gonzalez. Well, old McCasey and I have had a few go-arounds. But let me go back a little bit here.
Sure.
To give you a little idea of how, as you say, there's influence from behind the scene that causes these judges to do what has to be done so this stuff doesn't come out. One of the things I did to try to expose some of these things was since the Department of Justice was blocking me, members of Congress were covering up, the media was covering up. I figured, God, let's see. So I figured I'll make a record of it. There's two federal statutes that allows, one statute requires that if I know of a federal crime, I must report it to a federal judge or other federal officer. Well, no one ever reports it to a federal judge, but I figured, okay, I'll do that. And a federal judge must receive the information as part of his administrative duties, not his judicial duties. So I filed federal actions in Sacramento in the federal courts, and that wasn't the first one, but this for the purpose of this conversation. So I filed it, and the judge refused to receive any of my information. And the U.S. attorney, David Levy, who since was promoted to a federal judge, he filed motions to block me. So anyhow, that was dismissed without in violation of the law. Then, as I'm finding out more, they rendered an order forever barring me for the remainder. Oops, I see a break. I'll get to it on the next opening.
Okay. Rodney, folks, very important information that's got to get out to the American people. The major media control, the Congress members not responding, the judges being so corrupt. Who are we going to talk to? Folks, let's wake up. We'll be right back with more content. We're back with Rodney Stitch, and without more hesitation, let's get right back to Rodney. Could you pick up where you left off, please, Rodney, for us?
Right. Okay. As I was saying, I filed a federal action to report the federal crimes that I discovered during my official duties, and the judge refused to receive it and issued an order permanently barring me for the remainder of my life from filing any papers in federal court. Well, that, of course, is unconstitutional and illegal, but that's the way it is, folks. But anyhow, as I'm
but
finding
being a judge,
out,
like you said, but Rodney, being that it was the judge himself that did the illegal act, who is the guy that's supposed to interpret and enforce the law without bias toward everybody? If that guy himself is a crook and criminal, who else can he go to except the Congress, which Congress doesn't want to hear about it, except the media. Media doesn't want to hear about it, the major media. So now it's through alternative news resources like With the People Radio Network, folks, like this radio program, that Rodney is getting his message out to American people like you and me, folks, so we can all become informed what's going on, so we can all take action to stop this deep level of criminality. Go ahead, Rodney. You were saying, please?
Yes, okay. Oh, and I might answer, add to what you've just said. It's the talk show host that we can go to. But we have one other problem. That's the people. They won't do anything. You know, I started exposing the crud associated with a series of airline disasters back in 1978. You know, I've been on over 3,000 radio and TV shows, but not a single person that have heard me. And even though I get I have high credibility, nobody does anything. So, I mean, the hijackings of 9/11 would never have happened if, and they were simply the ripple effects of the crud that was going on in the government's aviation safety offices. But nobody seems to be able to associate this, or if they do, they're in denial. But anyhow, what I did when I filed the next action in federal court, then the U.S. attorney charged me with criminal contempt of court, mind you, for trying to expose crud, some of which was resulting in fatalities, and fatalities in aviation disasters aren't very pretty. But anyhow, then they denied me a jury trial, and of course I get a attorney that is more protective of the government than me, and I end up at the age of, I think I was about 67 at the time, I'm in prison for 6 months, and all for trying to expose this crud. Now, if you really understand it, you can see how the ripple effects of this were felt on 9/11. But again, nobody seems to take the interest to go into it. But anyhow, that's the public's problem, not mine anymore. But so, and then, you know, after 9/11, incidentally, everybody that got involved in that got promoted. The David Levi, the U.S. attorney, they made him a federal judge, and that seemed to follow a pattern. But then after 9/11, I figured, well, I'll try again to report these things. And that was given to Judge McCasey in the New York courts. Remember, he's our attorney general, folks. But for 13 months, he refused to file it. And he didn't file it until after I sent letters to each of the justices of the U.S. Supreme Court advising them of the latest obstruction of justice by judges over whom they had supervisory responsibilities. Then McCasey filed it, but before the day was over, he had a 5-page dismissal order dismissing it, which violated, first of all, criminal statutes because he's supposed to receive the information, plus all the civil due process and constitutional rights. I'm entitled to a hearing before they dismiss it, and there's got to be a reason to dismiss it. And all that was openly violated. And Supreme Court justices know about this. They knew about it. I had three cases filed by the U.S. Supreme Court in the very beginning where they knew about all these things. They knew about the criminal aspects, and they covered up for it. And so where can the public go? I don't know of any place with the media the way they are. So the public has problems, and many of the things that's going on today that's severely affecting the American people are simply part, an extension of the culture that's been going on for decades. And I've described this in my books.
Right. Well, Rodney, that's why we're having alternative radio networks like With the People Radio Network, and that's why it's so important for our listeners to tell them, tell their friends and neighbors and coworkers to listen to With the People Radio Network and other alternative media like American Free Press, and get the network going, because we have an alternative way of getting to people now through internet, which is very exciting, which is why the Ron Paul revolution has taken hold, because we're bypassing the major media and forcing the mainstream media to take note of the things that we're doing. We just got to do a lot more, but obviously. So, Rodney, as far as you know, the import of drugs by CIA in the United States is going right to this day in America unabated. And if so, as far as you know, over the last few years, where are they importing these drugs generally through? For example, in the 80s, we knew with Governor Bill Clinton in Arkansas very willing to go along, they brought a huge amount of it through Mena, Arkansas back in those days. Of course, they did things with Oliver North, of course, we knew as well in the early 80s. But how about today, as far as you know, where are they primarily bringing the drugs into the United States from? Do you know?
Well, now in my latest edition of Drugging America, I give some examples of how the Texas National Guard was involved in bringing drugs in. But they're coming in with NAFTA, with all the trucks and the railroad cars. I mean, they're coming in easily that way. And then they're also coming in from Canada. And I have one chapter that goes into great detail on how the drugs were first, what they were doing, at least from this one source. The plane, general aviation plane flies up along the U.S. eastern coast to Canada. They drop the drugs in waterproof bags into the water offshore where boats would pick them up. Then the drugs would be taken inland in Canada, and then they're flown in across the border. And, of course, there's virtually no surveillance there. So they come across the border and oftentimes into the Indian reservations. And this FBI agent out of the Miami office, Terry Nelson, was involved in that part of the time. So, and I'm going back to Arkansas. I go into great details about how Ollie North was involved in that, and one helicopter pilot with the military, he flew Ollie North to inspect some of these drug laboratories in Central America. And that was he goes into great details, even has copies of the military flight plans showing Ollie North on board. Incidentally, just for a little light moment, I was a guest on Ollie North's radio show some years ago for an hour. Of course, he had me on. Whoops, I see we have a break.
Yes. Yes, Oliver North, folks. That's the Colonel Oliver North, the man that appeared on TV looking like he's such a patriot. And, you know, when his military uniform testified before the con. Going to hear more about Oliver North, folks, and other criminalities of the U.S. government, CIA, with Rodney Stitch. We'll be right back. So would you continue, Rodney, where you left off before the break, please?
Yeah, I was just giving you a light moment there. Even though Ollie North was heavily involved in the drug smuggling, as I mentioned, this helicopter pilot flew him to a number of the cocaine processing plants. But anyhow, I was mentioning Ollie North had me as a guest on his radio show on the book Unfriendly Skies, and Of course, I didn't mention anything about, I write about him in my other books as being involved in the Iran-Contra affairs and the drug smuggling.
Oh, really? He didn't know about the other books about drug smuggling, which you mentioned him. He had you on his radio program about unfriendly skies and the Federal Aviation Administration problems. Is that correct?
Right, right. So he was just aviation. I had another interesting experience once. Theodore Shockley, he was a major CIA operative. And at one of the meetings of the intelligence groups that occurred in San Francisco, which I attended, I happened to sit down for dinner, for lunch, at a table of six without looking to see who's there. And who's there exactly opposite me was Theodore Shockley, and I had written about him in a couple of my books. I mention that just for a light moment.
Shockley was a major CIA operator, what, from 60s, 70s, and 80s, during those three decades primarily, would you say?
Yes, and then a pilot who had flown him around in Central or South America in a C-46 aircraft described one flight where Shockley was on board where they lost an engine over the Andes. And they had the crash land, and the back of the plane was full of drugs. So that was kind of an interesting piece. So Shockley was definitely involved in the drug operation, but it was a CIA operation. Hundreds of others were involved. And, it's not just me exposing these things. Many books, I can think of at least a dozen of them that have been written by agents of the DEA or real serious, knowledgeable investigators who were describing in detail the drug smuggling by the CIA. Now, this would be extremely serious because that's the source of one of our major crime problems. And that's, of course, subverting national interest. But with all of this information, there's got to be a concentrated cover-up. Congress has to cover up. Department of Justice has to cover up. The military's got to cover up because the military's been involved in this. So, but the average person, you tell them this, they think you're paranoid because they're so naive. It's not totally their fault. The media dumbs out it down the public. And of course now, with the political pundits that are everywhere now instead of investigative reporters, there's never been so much outright lying. And a lie like that, you've got to expect the public to be about as dumb as you can possibly get on these things. And apparently they are. Because,
recently I referred somebody to you who came to me, who actually knew some DEA agents, and the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, folks, that's what DEA stands for, that these guys were running the drugs in the United States through Mexico. Did that guy call you?
Well, I don't know. I get calls all the time, but I've got a lot of detailed information on the drugs, how they come in, and with people describing it to me. And now I have two pilots. One was a United Airlines flight instructor on a DC-8. Matter of fact, that's where I got my DC-8 type rating. At United, but he got tired of being a flight instructor, so he became a drug smuggler. And eventually he was caught, so he said, so a deal was made whereby he would run sting operations. So he has verbal authority by DEA agents in the Beaumont office, Beaumont, Texas, to carry out a sting operation, which he's doing, and then federal prosecutors charge him with being a drug kingpin. Well, then the people who gave him the verbal authority said, hey, we didn't give him any of this authority. So he's in prison for the remainder of his life. And I've got another a pilot who was in a similar situation. And again, he also is there for the remainder of his life. And then I have an airline pilot who was set up. He has a long prison term. He wants to commit suicide. So there's a lot of human misery arising from all of this corruption.
But directly, again, of course, not to mention all the people who are in jail, all the young people, black, white, Mexican, and whatever, Oriental background. A lot of young people, folks, are in jail because of the drug war, which is being fed by the CIA and the DEA and covered up by the U.S. Department of Injustice. Folks, I don't call them Department of Justice anymore because what they promote is injustice in practice. But, you know, is it true that in your estimation that DEA is in on this? The CIA, they work hand in glove in importing the drugs together, CIA and DEA, to cover it up. I mean, the Drug Enforcement Agency actually imports the drugs in the United States with the CIA, Rodney?
Oh, by all means. I have numerous instances of this that I give examples of. And I also give one example. And the examples I'm giving you are just one out of many in the book. But here was a U.S. border agent who discovered that one of the DEA agents had a base in Mexico. I put the name of the DEA agent in the book. But when one of the Mexican cargo handlers discovered that this guy was a DEA agent, the DEA agent shot him. Well, so this information was discovered by this border agent. So he makes a report on it, and the report is destroyed. So he makes another report, so they charge him. They fabricate a drug smuggling operation against him. So the guy, and of course they use perjured testimony, that's routine. So he ends up in prison. And it's tragic. But none of this would happen if the public would put down the damn, whatever they stick in their ears, and spend some time reading about these things. You know, and on my website, Defrauding America, you can download portions of any of the books at no charge, and there's been over 300,000 downloads last year. But nobody says anything.
Folks. Everybody go to defraudingamerica.com and, folks, read more details about everything that Rodney Stitch is telling us right now. But let's go. We got a couple of people waiting to ask questions from you right now. Let's get a couple of these questions answered now, Rodney. And perhaps we're going to pick up more of this, of course, next week on our program with you. We got Mike from Oregon who has been patiently waiting to ask your question. Mike, you're live with Rodney Stitch. We got 1 minute and 10 seconds. Make your question brief because we're going to take the answer after the break, please.
Shalom, Peymani Mutahide Aziz. How are you?
I'm doing good, Mike. Thank you for calling. Persian, folks. That's why he told me hello in Persian. Yes, Mike. Yes. What's in your mind tonight, yes, my friend?
I hope you give me more time because I would like to discuss with you a few issues. And whatever he say, your post, it's also happening in Iran, especially Zahra Kazemi, a Canadian journalist, was in Iran taking pictures from the FEMA camps in Evin prison in Tehran, and she was arrested.
Hold on, Mike. We got a break coming up. Okay, but when we come back, all of what you say, I know it's true about Iran. Well, right now we got our guest about talking about this subject. So when we come back, please address your question to the questions about things that Rodney should talk about, okay? Hang on, we'll be right back with more Rodney Stitch. We're back, folks, for the last 11 minutes of our talk tonight with whistleblower, government whistleblower, fraud investigator, exposing government corruption, folks, at the highest levels, the deepest level. The stuff you will not hear on mainstream media for sure. We're going to have Rodney Stitch back again next week with us, folks, to get into it more. But we got a couple people waiting to ask a question right now. So let's go right now. Mike, could you ask us a question of our guest tonight, or should I go to the next person if you have no question of him at this time, Mike?
Oh, no, I do have a question. My question is this, that with all this corruption that is going on, how come everything is saying nothing has been changed? Means why the, you know, in France, every night, 24 hours a day, there is a demonstration, there is the people, I mean, in France, government scares from the people. But here, the people escapes from the government. And my question is this, how come with all these corruptions that we talk, how come nothing has been changed? How come there is no impeachment? How come there is no nothing? I mean, everything is same. I mean, you know, why?
Well, Rodney, I think you already answered that question for our caller. Perhaps he has not heard of you much of that. Maybe you could repeat that for him, the summary of his answer, please, to his question.
Okay, and what I discovered over the last 40 years is that the reason there's nothing done is because the checks and balances are covering up Pupori's problems. You've got the Department of Justice, that's a very political organization, and they've been covering up and obstructing justice for decades. You've got members of Congress, and if you go to my website, you can see all the letters that I wrote to members of Congress over the last 40 years, informing them of these things. And the least, the most they may say is it's not in their area of responsibility, but you just can't get them to do anything. And in the media, and this is one area that I don't think that people realize how they cover up. And I give example after example for the last 40 years. And of course, what better example will you see than the invasion of Iraq, with all the lies that were, that preceded it. And anybody that had internet access would find all of the reliable sources that showed every single thing that was being stated to support the invasion of Iraq was false. And the media people certainly know this. And then the political pundits. Oh, I should also mention that many media people are on the payroll of the CIA and other government agencies. And then, of course, you got the political pundits, and they lie openly. And to lie like this, they've got to count on the public being ignorant. Well, now, there's books out there written by insiders, just like mine. But you don't find these books on your, on the bookstore shelves. You have to know about it and then write to special places to get them. So the public doesn't have this information. And the public who know, they don't do a damn thing. Because I found that out in over 3,000 radio and television shows. They may send you nice letters and, Jesus, keep at it. But nobody does anything. Nobody helps fund, like, all these websites I have. It costs me money to when people download. And in 300,000 downloads, I got 4 donations. Try that. That's why the public's part of the problem.
Exactly.
Well, Mike, we're in a third world country situation. Go ahead, Mike. What's your second question?
Yes. Krishan Amanpour is one of them, is a CIA agent. And Ruti Bakhtiari from the Fox News, also she's the CIA agent. So I want to let you know that so for future you know that.
Very good. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for your question, my friend. It's good to hear from a fellow countryman. Mike is also an immigrant from Iran, like me, who's being an American citizen. And, of course, you know, he's fighting corruption and both sides going over there in Iran and here. Mike, thank you very much for your question.
Shalom and death to the Islamic Republic of Iran. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Thank you, Mike. We got another person waiting to ask a question, Jerry from New Mexico. Jerry, you're live with Rodney Stitch, my friend. Go ahead and ask your question, please.
Thank you, Payman, for taking my call. Rodney, this goes back to what you had in the first hour. I've always wondered about this. During the Iranian hostage time, you know, George Hansen had wrote a book, the late former congressman George Hansen had wrote a book basically saying what you said, that the hostages could have been released early. My question is when, because of the Trilateral Commission and Zbigniew Brzezinski basically groomed Carter, when, you know, when he was a peanut farmer, to become president, what was the reason, if you know, why they were wanting to dump Carter, since he was basically there to, after Watergate, to maybe try to show us that we were in a crisis, that they wanted to have the new state's constitution, you know, they were going to change the constitution. Why would the trilateralist grooming and backing Carter, why were they willing to dump Carter for Reagan? Do you know why that is, and why they basically staged the continuation of the Iranian hostage scenario?
That I don't think I have an answer on that, but all I know is the Republicans simply wanted to be in control. And, of course, you had Bill Casey, who was behind a lot of this. And, of course, after Reagan gets elected, then Bill Casey becomes the director of the CIA. And then we had all types of funny business going on. So
you don't really know why they... why they did that, why Carter and George Hansen was basically had given Carter in, because Carter basically told Hansen to shut up and come home, because Hansen was the one that informed Carter that he could bring the hostages home.
Well, now, again, remember, I'm talking to people who were part of the operation, and the CIA is very compartmentalized. So sometimes when I ask them, just like, where does the money go from the drug trafficking? They know part of it, but where it ends up, they don't know.
Thank you, Payman.
You're welcome, Jerry. Thank you for that question. I think, Rodney, that's an important distinction, because I think what you specialize in is getting the testimony and information of these sources. But like you said, because these sources only know so much, therefore, you know, you don't have necessarily all the answers. But, you know, Rodney, I mean, this is my personal opinion about this, but it, to me, it seems in order for them, you know, to be able to have the judges shut up, have the U.S. Department of Justice shut up, the media shut up, not to talk about it, and congressmen. And in addition, to have the Department of Justice lawyers and the judges conspire to silence these kind of whistleblowers, there must be powerful forces, powerful people behind the scenes at the highest levels that are engineering all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, my favorite thing, my personal speculation is that the international bankers who have also great stake in the military-industrial corporate complex, you know, they have such huge amounts of profits involved in this thing, and with the amount of influence and money that they got, they engineer all this stuff behind the scenes, and since they don't stop at anything, they are willing to torture and murder innocent people, put them in jail and whatever, they get to get away with things because... you know, I've heard of all kinds of stories. For example, a policeman at Oklahoma bombing who was saying that what happened there is not what the media is saying. And then the guy that found the guy committing suicide, supposedly, type of thing. Of course, he was killed, obviously. But what is your best guess? Who do you think is behind these things? Have any idea what would your opinion be of who's doing all this stuff, Rodney?
Now, let me mention, in all of my books, I try to be very factual, and I use as much documentation as I can find. But as to why they do things, I avoid that area, because if I come out with a guess, there would be no way I could support it. It would be just my assumption. So that's why I try to stick just with the facts. And otherwise, I mean, there's so many conspiracy theories out there. Some of them are pretty screwy besides. And so I try to avoid that area.
I appreciate that. I understand that. So, Rodney, we're going to bring you back next week. Folks, there's so much to cover about this drug area itself, which we haven't covered. For example, we haven't talked about Barry Seal and Air America, you know, things going on out there. But We got about 1 minute left. What would you like to tell our listeners now before we wrap up the program for tonight, Rodney?
Okay, I would suggest going to the website Defrauding America, and on there, there's a place you can click where you get to the list of the books, and you can download at no charge any number of those books, or you can download the whole book for $12, and then those what you download, you can even convert the text to speech so you could listen to it. So it's very interesting. I would suggest strongly going to the website because there's more information on there than you can possibly digest.
Wow. Fantastic. Folks, that's defraudingamerica.com. And consider, folks, donating something to Rodney Stitch to help him continue this information war, getting it out there to American people. We would have more of Rodney Stitch, folks, next week. So tell your friends, neighbors, coworkers to listen next Sunday night, 6 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, for more Rodney Stitch on Free People Radio Network.